30th later. Jackie also knows that the heels she's wearing will probably want to make her sore her feet off by 9pm, so she's packed some trainers. Travel for less than you'd think. If you know, you go. National Express.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
5:53, Andrew Marr with you in a couple of moments. Harry, Richard, Alex, Steve, Judy, we'll try and get all your calls in before the news at 6. First, though...
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
Just fewer than 2 weeks to go before Americans go to the polls to choose between Donald Trump or Kamala Harris as their president. And there are claims of election interference. Now, normally when that is raised, you think perhaps of the Russians, perhaps of the Chinese. But no, this time it's aimed at the Labour Party. Keir Starmer insisting he can maintain a good relationship with Donald Trump after the candidate accused Labour of blatant foreign interference in the US election. The Trump campaign filed a legal complaint overnight against Labour officials travelling to US battleground states to volunteer for his Democrat rival Kamala Harris. Professor Susan Hyde is Professor of Political Science and co-director of the Institute of International Studies at University of California, Berkeley, studying international influences on domestic politics. Thanks for coming on, Professor. Is this a clear example of one of those international influences?
It's certainly an accusation of one, but I think the evidence thus far is fairly slim.
The evidence being one LinkedIn post from a Labour staffer saying we've got some spaces available if people want to come and we'll put a roof over your head.
Yeah, I think the complaint seems to suggest that the offer of housing is payment by the Labour Party. But I think the evidence that there are that the Labour Party is funding anything to do with this volunteer activity has not yet been provided by the Trump campaign.
Were it to be shown that the Labour Party as an institution were paying for people to be able to go, if not them directly paying for to allow them to go and do this, would that cross any lines?
If they were being paid for by the Labour Party, yes, that would cross the line. If they're traveling and campaigning in their volunteer as volunteers and they're paying their own way, and they might be provided housing based on people who provide housing as a donation, right? That's something that I think happens all the time. It's like sleeping on somebody's couch.
Right.
Those things are permitted. What's not permitted is the direct payment from the Labour Party to their members to campaign on behalf of Harris.
So they would be sleeping on someone's sofa or whatever, which would be considered a sort of a campaign donation to the Kamala Harris campaign.
If that's what's happening, the details on who's paying for the housing, as far as I can tell, have not been made clear. But I know from a lot of other instances that the donation of housing and making places for people to sleep who are traveling to campaign is something that's fairly common here.
Were the evidence to be provided that showed what the Trump campaign wants to show Labour were doing, what would be the penalty?
I think that there would be fines, but I don't have great information on exactly the magnitude of those fines, right, and who they're levied against. I think the bigger potential cost is the relationship between the UK and the US if Trump wins, but the fines could happen if evidence is provided. However, it doesn't seem like it's a very credible threat. One thing that is notable is that this allegation comes on the heels of a credible report from the American intelligence community that a Russian disinformation campaign against Tim Walz has been documented and is being shown as something that has in fact happened.
13 days to go. Susan, thank you. Professor Susan Hyde, Professor of Political Science and co-director of the Institute of International Studies at the University of California. 5:57. Harry's in Richmond on police anonymity. Harry.
Hi, Tom. I'll keep it as brief as I can.
Sir.
I'm a bit of a reductionist and that can be quite brutal, but I really don't see what the problem is with the idea of public servants, particularly, being held responsible. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and I know I can upset people sometimes being like this, but responsibility is a thing that, particularly when you're holding a deadly weapon,
yes,
should be foremost.
But Harry, you know, there is no need to go reductio ad absurdum on this, because no one is suggesting that a police officer wouldn't go to court or be charged with a criminal offence or indeed be convicted of a criminal offence whilst carrying out their duties. They just wouldn't be named until they've been convicted.
but this is the thing. I'm hearing a lot of people attempting almost, now I might be breaking that down a bit much, but they're trying to excuse almost the idea that police officers should be given some sense of sympathy when they're being given this weapon.
Well, I think it is not unreasonable to feel a degree of sympathy for this bloke who's been named completely crazily and is going to spend the rest of his life looking over his shoulder after having done nothing criminally wrong.